Welcome to Public Health Out Loud, public health for the public. So today's episode is Welcome to Pandemic University, starting college in the pandemic. Hi, I'm Dr. Jim McDonald, Medical Director of the Rhode Island Department of Health.
And I'm Dr. Philip Chan. Thank you all for joining us.
Dr. Chan, how are you today? I haven't seen you today. You doing okay?
I'm doing okay. It's been a long pandemic, as you know, but I'm doing okay. How about yourself?
It's been a long pandemic, but it's sunny today, so that makes me happy, and I enjoy sunshine on days like today. So today we have a really awesome guest. I'm very excited about having Luis Raul Villalta Santana with us, who's a college student. And it's just great to have Luis with us today. Luis, good afternoon. How are you today?
I'm doing well today, Dr. McDonald.
Yeah, it's good to have you joining us today. We're so excited you could take time out of your break. You're in break right now too. So we appreciate you doing that. Thank you for joining us.
Yeah, and I just want to say hello as well, Luis. Thank you again. You know, it's interesting here at the Public Health Department. I feel like I've been involved in the college pandemic response since the beginning, yet I'm sort of have more of a bird's eye view of it. But it's great to have you here today to hear a little bit about your experiences and what's going on. So let's kick it off here. Why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself, what you like to do, where you're from, and of course, a little bit about where you are in your education.
Yeah. So again, my name is Luis Raul Villalta Santana, and I am a college student at Gordon College in Wenham, Massachusetts. I'm a double major with kinesiology and nursing. I run a podcast as well, Luis Raul Show. And so I do music. So I have a lot of stuff that keeps me busy for sure.
Yeah. And it's interesting, you know, so we got to talk about your first day at college, Luis. I was thinking about this. So I brought my daughter to first day of school this year, and it was a big deal for me as a dad. And it's one of life's great milestones, quite frankly. You work hard in high school, you know, you've got to get into your school, you find your school. The anticipation is amazing. And then the first day is here. So I'm just going to ask, during the pandemic, you started college. What was the first day of college like for you during the pandemic?
Yeah, my first day of college was pretty eventful. My college has a great community, and they really opened us up to it very quickly. I had some little things here and there that were annoying. Like I lost my keys for my dorm on the first day. So I had to go the first few weeks without keys to get into my building, as well as like little things here and there. Like, for example, we have these households where you don't have to socially distance. And it was so weird to not wear a mask around people that I hadn't met before in my life. And that was like some of the new transitional things to going to college. Living with people that I didn't know. I met my roommate for the first time right there on that first day. There's a lot.
Yeah, thank you for sharing. You know, as you're sort of talking here, I'm thinking about my first day of college. I went to the University of Vermont, up in Burlington, Vermont. And while I don't remember everything that happened the first day, I certainly remember being a little bit nervous, right? You're meeting all these people, first day, you know, living, right, away from home. It's really one of those great milestones of life. You know, you work hard in high school, you know, find your school, anticipation. What was your first day of college like? What were some of those emotions going through you? And I'll just preference that by saying, you know, especially during a pandemic, I mean, I can't even imagine what it'd be like with the pandemic hanging over your head and starting the first day of college. Tell us a little bit about that first day.
Yeah, no, I absolutely love meeting new people. It's one of the things that like, yeah, there's a little bit of anxiety and nervousness that comes with it, but it's more of, for me at least, an anxiety of like excitement that, oh, I get to spend time with these new people. I get to learn new stories. I like to think of myself as a story collector. So going to college and being around all these new people, like from Turkey and people from Indonesia and around the world, was so interesting for me. And I was like, I'm so excited to learn these new people's stories. Like, oh, why are you doing a degree in philosophy? That's so interesting. Tell me more about that. So I think it was a lot of like that. I'm not a small talk type of person. So the first day of college was a lot of me asking hard questions to people that I just met. I think that was probably one of the things that was different for me.
You know, it's interesting, Luis, you refer to yourself as a story collector. And I just love that you have described yourself as a story collector. Because I think that's just, that really resonates with me as a person, because I have to admit, I've been a bit of a story collector myself throughout my life. And it's one of those things I learned in college. It's funny, my first college, I was majoring in photography. I went on to become a doctor, but I was studying photography. And I remember one photography lecturer telling us, like, you know, you get out of college, you want to be a teacher, you're not interesting, you don't have enough stories. You've really got to have stories to be an interesting college professor. And I really think back to that as really being true. It's like one of the things that I've noticed about my own career is that it's the stories that make my career more interesting. And with the way you get stories, you become a story collector. So one of the things I'm just thinking about, as you went through your first semester at Gordon College during a pandemic, there must have been things about the pandemic that, although they were different, you actually liked. And I was just curious, what did you like about college that was because of being in a pandemic?
Yeah, I think that one of the things that I really liked that other people might not agree with is that some of my classes were asynchronous. So that just means it's a pretty much an online class. And I could take the lecture whenever I wanted. I could pass in the homework whenever I wanted, as long as it was throughout the week. And then I had a quiz every week for that class. And for me, that was really, really good, because what I'm doing 18 credits a semester with 6 hours of lab. And so it was a lot of time for me to focus on. But one of those classes, I could just take it on my own back and take it when I wanted to. So that was one of the things that I'm probably going to miss once semesters go back to normal, because all my classes are going to be in person and they're all going to have a larger weight of hours on my back of having to go and things like that. But and that's one thing I loved. I also loved that, like, if you weren't having a good day, you could just turn on Zoom for your lecture that was in person, and you could watch it on Zoom and just turn your camera on and still ask questions of the class, and you could do it from your dorm room. So like, if you, like some people that I knew, like they didn't want to leave their dorm some days, and if they were in quarantine, you know, you couldn't. So that was something that you didn't have to change your college experience because of you were in quarantine or if you didn't want to go to class.
Thank you for sharing that, Lewis. I think, again, I'm sort of thinking back to my college days. You know, it took me about a year of my life, freshman year, to kind of figure college out, meaning I got into, I think as many people do, the social scene. At least for that first year, grades were not always a priority and classes weren't. And so I found myself skipping a lot of classes that first year. And of course, subsequent years, I really buckled down and studied hard and went on to become a doctor. But I'm just thinking about that first year. And I think for a lot of people, you know, the teleclassroom can really appeal to them. I'm trying to think about, we didn't have that. I graduated in 2001. I'm trying to think about if that would have made a difference, but I can see the appeal of that for sure.
Yeah. If you don't want to go to class, you can still go to class. You can just like listen to it. And every single lecture is recorded, so you can listen to it at a different time too. So I know a lot of kids that took advantage of that. They worked throughout school, and you know, you could take normal work hours and just listen to your lectures later in the day, even if you had like an 8 a.m. class. So I think that some people really loved that.
It's interesting. You know, you remind me of just what we're doing right now with just teleworking. Like, I'm working from my home, which it's a misnomer. It's living at work now. But one of the things I like about living at work, if you will, is I can go to a meeting. I can be checking email at the same time. I can be answering texts. Sometimes I'm in multiple meetings at the same time because I'm not running that particular meeting. But what's intriguing to me is I've just noticed I have moved into multitasking extraordinaire. And what's interesting now about the etiquette is, you know, when I would go to a meeting in person, if you're looking at your phone, people thought you were rude. Now in the multitasking culture, people just know you're efficient. And it's now even acceptable if you miss something in a meeting to say, I'm sorry, I was multitasking. Can you repeat that again? And people just roll with it because everyone else is doing the same thing. So it's just kind of interesting to see the parallels from those of us who are working from remote sites to those who are in school as well. Just interesting.
Absolutely. I see that a lot. I know that for me, with like homework, like I was always doing like my science homework at some time. And so I was always in my phone, but a lot of the time it was like, I was writing down the structure of a mitochondria and writing a paragraph about how to do that. And I was like with my friends writing essays. And that was just a thing that was common for everyone. School was both digital and live. So people had to learn to live with that. So I totally agree with you there.
So let me ask you this, Lewis. I think you just nailed at least one thing that I've always thought was perhaps a benefit, at least something good to come out of the pandemic. But what are your thoughts on things that have not been so great about the pandemic during college here?
I'd say probably the most negative thing for me is I can't think of a better word to say it than policing. Some people go out of their way to make sure that you are not only following all of the normal rules that you're following, but also that you're doing other things on top of it. It's a little bit stressful sometimes, because it's as though everyone is looking down on you like a hawk, with everything you do. You have to do everything perfect, or else there's a sort of societal pressure of other people sort of negatively looking down on people because of specific things like that. Does that help answer? That was like one thing that I think of instantly.
Yeah. And I feel your pain a bit on the public health side, because we've talked to the colleges and universities here in Rhode Island about that. And, you know, there's been so much about this pandemic that's just a no-win situation. And I think that that's one of them. And it's that balance of trying to, of course, you know, one of the things about colleges and universities, right, students, is that you're trying to find your freedom. You're trying to find yourself to some degree. And I think that constant, oversight policing, as you mentioned, is limiting to that. And I do feel for you, and, kind of a no-win situation. I do have one other thing I just wanted to ask you. I think one thing that's emerged during this pandemic, I guess not unexpectedly, is this concept of mental health, right? And we've Yes. seen that across the U.S., rates of depression among people in general, understandably, are folds higher than pre-pandemic, which I think makes sense. I'm just curious about sort of the mental health atmosphere that you've seen at college. For example, do you feel like college students are carefree? Do you feel like it's more subdued? Do you feel like there's a lot of people who are depressed? I mean, what's sort of your general sense of the mental health environment?
Yeah, I'd say that probably the biggest thing of mental health that I see at college, that's like the most detrimental, whether it be anxiety or depression and people dealing with things that they'd never dealt with before, was the effect of quarantine on some people. I remember there were some people that were quarantining in our dorm. So they come in late in the night or in a time when there's not a lot of people, and they go into the quarantine suite. And I remember walking by one of the quarantine suites, and you just hear them just crying. Very loud, very, very bad. And it's hard, because you're just like, because they don't want you to know that, but everyone knows that how difficult quarantine is. And it's a big effect. Like if there were someone in the quarantine suite, which is, it's like separated from all of us. It's like in the stairwell, at least in my dorm. We would go out of our way to try to do something for the people in quarantine, in any way we could, talk to them through the door. There was one time that we took an accordion, we started playing for them outside, or running around outside in a banana suit, just to get them happy and get them to laugh and something else like that. Cause I feel like laughter is one of the best medicine that someone can have. And in quarantine, it's so difficult, for some of these people. And it's just it's the little things that you can do for them.
I love that. I mean, I just got to say, running around a banana suit is not something I think I could do, but I love that you or someone did that. And I think you really hit on that notion about, you know, the pandemic generates lots of emotions, but quarantine, it's lonely. And when you're at college away from your family, especially your first year of college, I mean, that's hard, being lonely. I mean, people talk about the isolation, but I think there's also a sense of like, you know, anger a little bit in quarantine. Mm. In other words, one of the things I just see is, I think, you know, especially growing up in the United States, I'm not used to being controlled. And the thing about the quarantine is it's just, it really does erode your freedom. And the notion that you have to give up your freedom as part of the social contract to protect others is noble, yeah, right, and good. But I don't know that it resonates with folks when you're actually going through the darn thing.
Yeah, it's easy. I think I've heard it. It's easy to say, oh, quarantine is good for everyone. But then once you're doing it, you're like, this is so painful. This is so hard. And I can't believe that I was like yelling at people for complaining about this. Yeah, it's difficult.
Yeah, it is. And I guess, you know, as you've gone through your first semester of college through a pandemic, which quite frankly is a really unique life experience. And, you know, it's interesting. We're all going through the same pandemic. But you know, when you think about your experience in particular, you started your college career going through a pandemic and your school met in person, which was a bonus. But I'm just thinking, like, is there some advice you have for peers or really anyone? I mean, just, you know, what advice did you pull out of this to pass on to anyone?
I think that in the pandemic, people learned more about mental health. People that had never been anxious or depressed before, and I say never, but, you know, everyone has their ups and downs, but some people that had been more psychologically stable or typical, they went through difficult things and learned to be more connective with other people. So I think that in some cases, people have grown more connected because of the pandemic. I know I've seen it in college where everyone came and they felt a little bit separated, but by the time we left for the semester, everyone learned a little bit more about selflessness and being there for other people because they wanted people to be there for them. And I think that was something that was so important that I think that everyone should try to be a little bit more selfless, to be a little bit more for other people, because I think it just helps. It just a little bit of love in like of taking 5 minutes to write a letter for someone and slipping it under a door or handing it to them in person, it has so much more of an effect than not doing it.
You talk about being selfless, and I really like that idea. I think that's good advice for anyone. One of the things I've been really just thinking about on my own as I'm looking at the pandemic and how it just affects it, was like, I've been really noticing that, you know, kindness is actually an exercise. You actually have to purpose to do kindness, and perseverance is like an exercise as well. You know, when I think about, these are like muscles, you've got to exercise these muscles of kindness and perseverance and selflessness. These are all decent muscles, if you will, to just exercise, because it's a way to purposely and passionately and positively get through the pandemic, because it's such a unique life experience for everyone. I mean, it's really interesting how the pandemic journey is so personal, because everyone's got their own pandemic story.
No, absolutely.
And I think, to me, that story about using the banana suit to cheer people up is going to be a theme for me for the rest of the pandemic. And Dr. McDonald, we'll talk offline. Maybe one of us can do something similar to the Department of Health, and maybe we'll draw straws here.
I just tell you, we'll see. Department of Health banana suit. I'm going to see the purchase order on that go through someday. That'll be big.
But Louis, let me ask you this. I think your story there about quarantine thank you for sharing that. I think it was, it's very touching. And I just want to emphasize that attitude about being selfless. I think if everyone did a little more of that, this pandemic would be over and much more bearable, for sure. But let me ask you this, any other memorable stories that you've had here after your first semester? Just curious.
There's tons of things. I'd say it's kind of simple, but one of the things that I enjoyed the most, my campus has like 5 lakes right on campus. So you can go out into the woods and there's 400 acres. And I think going out into the woods with people and just going on a hike or just hanging out with people in nature, in the open air, which is so simple outside of the pandemic, but being able to do that with people, it was so awesome. And one thing I just learned the most is that you can still continue to like share culture and share experiences with people, even in it. So we had this one time where I'm a Puerto Rican at heart. My brother and sister were born there. I was the only one born in the States. But there was a whole event like giving pride to Puerto Rican culture on campus, and everyone was partaking on it on the quad, socially distanced, so there's people doing like kites and everything. And so for me, like, it was like life continues to go on and people will find a way to be creative, to just share in the things that used to be normal in the new normal. And so it's just like the little things, or like those big things that are just really awesome that I can think back to instantly.
Yeah, that's powerful. You know, that is powerful. I mean, I'm just sort of thinking about, you know, when I was back in college, back in the early 80s. But one of the things I remember was all the different people I met, all the different lifestyles there were, all the different lives they had led. And I, you know, I have to just say this, like, one of the things I've just learned over my career is that I would not be the person I was today without my people I went to college with, because they just helped refine me and define me. I learned so much from the people I went to school with. You know, it reminded me that as much as I learned from my professors, I learned more from my peers. And I think you're right about nature and just getting out and just not letting the pandemic just really drag you down. And I think about how the pandemic can drag folks down. And it just makes me wonder, is there anything when you think about the future that makes you worried a little bit as you look about living in the pandemic?
One thing that I think about is that I'm worried that some people, they won't stop. They won't allow things ever to go back to the normal that it once was. And in some ways, you know, that's good. But in other ways, I worry that people will continue to emotionally separate themselves from people, or now they'll have an excuse to not connect with people the same way. And that's one thing that I really worry about. It's the rebound, because interpersonal and social and emotional separation, I want that to not continue after the pandemic.
Yeah, it's interesting you talk about that. And as we kind of begin to close out our episode here, one of the things that you're reminding me of is that the pandemic has caused an enormous amount of disconnection of humans, as much as we're a connected culture through the internet. And by the way, I don't know how we would have done the pandemic without the internet, because thank goodness we can connect through these electronic means. But like, there's been so much disconnection. It'll be interesting to see how we reconnect. And one of the things I think is going to be necessary for us is actually purposefully reconnecting with people. Like, I know for me, there's things I've changed in my life, right? Like, in other words, we normally would go to church every Sunday morning, but now we do church online in our living room, and it works for us. But like, that day will change eventually, where we'll go back and do that. And, you know, we've kind of got out of the habit of going to restaurants. We've kind of got out of the habit of necessarily shopping locally, but we do shop locally when we can. But the bottom line is, it's so easy to get things online. And so we need to make those reconnections again, and really just like connecting with people, like, you know, just that just being in the same room with somebody. And it's interesting you say this. Like, one of the things that I think about is, you know, so many office buildings are full of conference rooms, but will conference rooms be a thing of the future or a thing of the past? Because are people going to see the value in assembling in a room when, quite frankly, we're all more efficient on our laptops in different rooms? So I think that's just part of what's interesting for the future. So as we close out, Lewis, any final thoughts?
Yeah. Just that I will thank you, obviously, once again, for letting me come on, and just that I hope that everything goes well for you guys and your families, and just that anyone listening, that just know that, like, there's probably someone that you can talk to on your phone, or someone else that you can be there for, or someone that can be there for you, hopefully. That's all.
Thank you, Lewis. And Dr. Chan, what's the final word for today?
Yeah, so thank you again, Lewis, for joining us. Absolute pleasure. And we also wish you the best of luck. So thank you. Thank you. In closing, I'll leave everyone with a moment of Zen to consider throughout the rest of your day. So this relates to a concept that we were talking about, being selfless. So this is a quote by Gandhi: "The best way to find yourself is to lose yourself in the service of others." So thank you all, and be well.
I want to thank Carol Stone, our technical director. I want to thank Jose Garcia, our executive producer, and have a great day.